This is dedicate the shir for the Refuah Shleima of Rav Steinman, Yaron Leib Ben Feger Ochel, who's right now in a bad matzav, or in a matzav that he needs tefillas. So we were talking about last time about the brachas of L'kai Neshama, Asher Yotzar, and the first three brachas of the Birkas HaShachar, about how the idea is that they should, it's developing our sense of mission, that Hashem gives us a mission for the day. And therefore you wake up in the morning, Elokai, Neshama Shenasata B, you put the Neshama, my Hashem Elokai, very personal, Neshama Shenasata B, Torahi, and that you're giving me a Neshama that I have to do something with. And I have a mission to accomplish with this Neshama. And then, in the first three brachas, you talk about your mission, and you talk about how and I have a specific mission that I have to do with my neshama through the key of my mitzvahs. And that was what we mentioned last time. We got up through the first four brachos of the Birkas HaShachar. Okay? Now, after that, we continue into the Birkas HaShachar. The Birkas HaShachar, if you look at them, are all brachos thanking Hashem for specific things that He does for us during the day. Every day, all the chasadim that Hashem does for us. Now I'm going to be makdim the mashal of the Chovis Alvavis that we started. I have to give a special yeshakar to my chavrusa, Aaron Gordon, helping me prepare and for being with Ur the whole shir in the first place. We decided together we're going to try to do this. So the Siddur HaGra brings a hakdama to the Birkas HaShachar from the Chovis Alvavis. Chovis Alvavis gives a mashal. He says, why is it that we don't appreciate all the chasadim that Hashem does for us? Why don't we appreciate it? And the answer is, he says, because we've had it our whole life. So if we've had it our whole life, how could you appreciate it? And he gives a mashal. He says, what happens if you have a guy who he was... You have two people, their parents threw them, you know, off into a baby, you know, whatever. And as a baby, he was found in the street, and people took him in as a little child, a little baby. And they raised him and all that, and, you know, they gave him everything a parent would give a child. Finally, they pay for him to go to yeshiva, college, etc., everything. Then what happens? Finally, the day before the chasana, they call him in, and they say, son, just want you to know the story. You're not our child. We don't even know who your parents are, but we found you on the street, and we took you in and we made you like our child. Says turns out of course it's totally been beautiful.
Very, 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 very.
No, we just started.
Yeah.
8:40.
I thought it's 8:15, but
8:40. So the yeah. Then he says that's one case. The other case is that there was a kid, a regular good kid, whatever. He got some trouble with his parents. He's a teenager, and the kid and the guy, the parents disown him. So now another family finds him, and he's like, he doesn't know what to do. He's like in this terrible matziv. He doesn't know what to do. He has no parents, no nothing. And all of a sudden, you know, these people take him in, and they say, no, we'll take you in. We'll marry you off. We'll pay you for yeshiva. They pay for his yeshiva. They pay for his clothes. They make his chasar, and this guy is going wild. Every speech at the Shabbat Brach is how amazing these people are. They married me off. They took care of me. So who's going to feel more akar satoy? So he said, the teva is going to be that the second one is going to feel more akar satoiv to the people, because he knew what his matziv was, right? But really, who should have more akar satoiv? The first one, right? But the reality is the second one's going to have more akar satoiv, because the second one understood what he was missing. He understood the tzara, that if no one takes him in, he's done. And then all of a sudden his family comes out of nowhere, takes him in like a child, and does everything they need for him. they are going to the second one's going to feel more akaras hatoiv to the people to come in than the first one. You see from that the amount of akaras hatoiv you have has nothing to do with the amount of the amount of toiva that you received. The amount of akaras hatoiv that you have has to do with the amount that you felt you were missing before you got it, and how much you're used to what you get. So he says, in order, you don't exactly say it like that. He says just that the more you're used to it, the less you appreciate. But I'm adding is that also how much you understand that you're missing before. How much you understood you were missing before in order for you to appreciate how much it's worth now. So the ooh, kosher guess, right? So the Hakdama, the Siddur Agra brings this Chovas Alvavas as the Hakdama to the Birkas HaShachar. A person can't understand how to appreciate what Hashem does for us if we don't understand A, what we're missing, and appreciate that it's new every single day. It's a new chesed. It's not the pshat, we can't take it for granted. So Noach Weinberg used to say, he says, how much do you think you would have a karas toiv to a surgeon that all of a sudden you were blind one day and the surgeon comes in, so we found a new surgery, and you revive and gives you back your vision? Yeah, it's not shaykh. You would, it's impossible to understand how much. So how much your car's a type B? So he says. And how much car's a type do you have to have that you have it even without having been blind first? Right. So it's the same thing. So Mamela, as we go through the brachas, the point is the point of these brachas is that we don't appreciate the chassadim that Hashem does for us. And one of the ways that a person, the hakdama we gave to this whole shir is that tefillah is not just a chiv that we're supposed to do. Tefillah is a tool that you use to get closer to Hashem. It's not just something we do, it's something we use. You're supposed to use the tefillah. It's a half hour, 40 minutes, an hour of time that we have to be able to concentrate and use it. It's like a musar seder, like we said. You don't have to make a musar seder. You just have to pay attention to the tefillah. You pay attention to that is musar. Right, so we'll see the nusach of the brachas. Everything's so meduktak to explain to us, and Chazal made this as a tool for us to realize every day how much Hashem does for us, and we should appreciate it. So, therefore, I think personally is that a person's makabel upon themselves to pay attention for the extra 30 seconds to a minute that it takes to say the brachas properly. Their whole day, the whole metzias is going to change eventually. Now, a person will say, "Well, I'm going to do it. I don't see change, you know." But Lamaisa, that was the whole thing with Rabbi Kiva. What happened with Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva saw, he went to the well, and he saw that the drop made the hole in the rock with the water, because every day a little drop comes in, if you don't see the difference. But over years, you'll see it. So let's go through the first bracha. Okay, again, the first three are a different set, but the first bracha: Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Pikeach Ivrim. Hashem opens the eyes of those who are blind. So Chazal, in the nusach that they say, is that they didn't just say we thank Hashem for giving us vision, for being able to see. We're really all blind. That's what the bracha say. You're an iver. You're really blind. Hashem opens up your eyes to be able to see every day. So that akar satoiv that a blind man would have, you should have that every single morning. Hashem is poikeach ivrim. The whole, like we said from the Chovas Levavos, the whole reason we can't appreciate what Hashem does for us is because we never felt the lack of it. So the bracha is saying, feel it. Understand that everyone is an iver. Everyone is an iver until Hashem opens up their eyes to be able to see. Poikeach ivrim. And therefore, if you understand that for a second, you'll realize what it means a person can't see. Everyone's like that, and now I have that extra bracha. It's amazing. You have that hakar satoiv.
And this is not just physical, but, you know, on the understanding of Torah.
One second. So right now, we talked about the physical.
Okay.
Now, by the way, this thing is mentioned in the Chumash also. It says in the Chumash when the... No. In Bereshis, it says by some of the, I don't remember exactly who, but by the, it says Vayiftach es Rachmo. But you know, it sounds like over there, like Pshat is everybody. It's a new bracha that a person can have a child. It's not like there's some people that, you know, can't have children. It's the opposite. Is it really? It's a new bracha every time. That's what the pasuk's mashma there. That's Pukach Ivrim. Now you're mentioning over here that besides the physical Pukach Ivrim that we say, it also means, where else does it say this lashon that Hashem was Pukach the Einayim of people? It says it by Adam and Chava. It says Vatipakachna Einay Shneim, that Hashem opened their eyes, Vayedu, and they understood Ki Eirumim Heim, that they were without clothes. So they saw beforehand, right? They saw it already. So what was the extra chiddush here? Vatipakachna Einay Shneim, Hashem opened their eyes. When we open their eyes, because sometimes your eyes can be open, but you have no clue what's going on. You could, two people could see the same story and take out two exact opposite facts. It's like no shyness, right? A person can miss the boat in Gansen, right? You see a story. So part of Pekach Ivrim is that Kodesh Baruch Hu opens us our eyes physically, but also he opens our eyes to see things in the right way, to see things and have a certain understanding of our surroundings, so we should know what's going on. Amen. Because the last three we did last week. that was a T4, but now, so part of Vatipakach Ivrim is that Indian of Vatipakach Na'inei Shnehem is to understand that to have the proper understanding in things is also included in the bracha. Okay, now. Okay, now after that, it continues to touch some of the tzrochim of the guf. I don't have to be myrach on each one of these, but just to explain it. Now, one other thing is just to understand, by the way, the heshtal shalos advarm of these brachas. In the Gemara it says, and the way the Gemara says it, it's even more real than the way we're saying it. We're saying it as a Muslim, we come to shul, we say the brachas. This is not the way Chazal established it. Chazal established it that as these things are happening, you should be making the bracha. That's what the Gemara bracha says. It says, when you open your eyes, you say Pekach Ivrim. The next one is, when you get dressed, you say Malbish Arumim, Hashem gives us clothing.
What? Today, when you find out you're still not a woman.
Well, actually, we asked that kasha last week. That why does it say Shalom Yasani Goy? You say that bracha every day. I'm going to say every day. One time, make that bracha. Hashem, I'm a yid. It's a new thing every day that I'm not a goy. What's the, right? So Teretz is that there's a new akara every day that I have a new mission. That's what we said. That's what we were saying. I have a new mission to accomplish as being a yid.
Okay. The world is created.
Right. There's a new bria every day. Every part of the bria. But the way Chazal said to make the bracha is a person would tap into that reality every day. Instead of just getting dressed in the morning, I'm making and I'm thanking Hashem for giving me the clothes. It's meridic, right? A person can have that much more kavana when he's saying that. So Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Malbish Arumim. Again, the same way. Not just Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shenasan Li Begad. No, without Hashem, I would be Arum. I would have nothing. I would have no clothes. All the brachas are in the negative. It starts with the negative because, like we're saying from the Chavis Alvav, it's the only way to fully understand and appreciate is to not have it. So a person has to understand that really he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it without Hashem. And Mimela Hashem is giving to us Malbish Arumim. You're the one that's Malbish Arumim. And again, according to Chazal, in the Gemara Brachas, those that know the Gemara Brachas say that you're supposed to make the bracha as you're getting dressed in the morning. Okay? Now the next bracha depends on your age, how much you can appreciate the next bracha. But the next bracha is amazing. Okay? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Matir Asurim. Okay? It means Hashem. What's the right way to say it? He releases those who are tied up. Only tied up. We're talking about people who are in jail, and that's a matter of jail. We're not talking about that. Because that wouldn't fit into the bracha here. We're talking about physically. Is that being able to move every joint and every muscle of one's body is a bracha. And as a person comes to... every person in their mouth understands that, you know... that's young people have a hard time necessarily understanding that, but with time, a person understands every single joint, every single thing. You know, I was with my mother. She had a knee surgery. There's an entire hospital in New York for. It's just a hospital, and that's like a wing, a floor. It's an entire hospital just for hospital special surgeries, basically for orthopedic surgeries. There's an entire wing, basically, for every joint over there, doing surgeries on this bone and on your toe and your this and every single thing is a chokhmah that gets him out. And a person, okay, so what's the big deal? You know, everything works. Everything works. It's a chiddush. And if it wouldn't work, we won't just be like, okay, it's a viter, you know, okay, I'll live without that part. No, a person has a child, and in Chas Hashom, they would be born without this, right? They would be broken, right? So Matir Asurim, is again also, and the way the bracha said, it's not just Hashem, I thank you for giving me the ability to walk. It's I would be also without that. I would possibly be in bed, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. I wouldn't be able to move. Betzim, I can't move. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes everything work that I can get out of bed. And that's what Gemara says, Matir Asurim, when you get out of bed, say this bracha, when you first start moving around. Zoykev kefufim, same thing. I would be kafuf. I would be bent over. I wouldn't without Hashem being able to straighten out my back. Right now, animals attack a bent. You know, human. So the goyim say it's all evolution. You know, basically, simple animals are bent down to the floor. You know, parallel to the floor. But as they get more advanced, as the animals get more advanced, you see that they start getting a little more posture, whatever. And human beings attack whatever a little bit strong. According to Chazal, it's a totally different. Barrier, and a person is the only creation that stands straight. And there's a reason for that, because that represents our reaching up to Shemaim, where our head is towards the Shemaim. By an animal, there's no difference between their head and their stomach. You know, one is not more chashuv than the other. They're both the same, because it's really neither is heading you anywhere, neither is getting you anywhere. By a person, their head is their ikar, because that's higher up, because you're supposed to use your head more than your stomach, right? So but a person in general has the ability to use their head to direct their stomach. By an animal, it's all the same. So you know, this whole philosophy, it's not just, you know, it takes away the whole significance of these things. You know, you're just basically an animal that figured out how to stand up, balance on two legs. So it's the creation of the world was dafka this way. So that zaykev kifufim is the bracha. A person stands tall. Okay. Then we continue. There's a few other ones. The brachas are, and just realizing that the bracha said in this nusach, which I myself was never oymed on until preparing the shir, how the whole bracha is coming from the negative. It's an amazing dair. Then it says here, Reika Aretz Alamayim. This is a very fascinating bracha that we say this every single day. Reika Aretz Alamayim. This is for Maisa Bereishis. That the land, it's a chiddush, that the land, you know, is not, we're not like walking in mud all day. I mean, here, you know, like, it's already like, you know, Sarachin, you can make this bracha, but, you know, like, but you understand how like, every step is like a chiddush. Okay? Rekar, it's all in mind. Now, then we say this. Baruch Atah Hashem, Sha'asali, Kol Tzarki. This is also a very interesting bracha. What's this bracha? So Chazal say that when you put on your shoes, you make the bracha, Sha'asali, Kol Tzarki. Sha'asali, Kol Tzarki. Hashem gave me all my needs. So shoes, all my needs. Why is that significant? So first of all, the Pasha Pshat, without getting fancy, is because if you put on your shoes, it means you already got dressed. So it means included in that is everything. Now I'm ready. Now it's not just my shoes. It's the Gemara means that when you put on your shoes, you say the bracha, Shasli Kol Tzarki, because it's referring to everything that happened till now. That also explains, by the way, all the other brachos are in the lashon of Hoive. Matir, he's right now, he's Matir Asurim, he's Malbisharim. Here it says, Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, he did for me Kol Tzarki, which is a Chiddush. There's other Nuschois, you look in this symbol, the red one, there's other Nuschois, Ha'asali. if other, well, there are other nuschais in this bracha. In this siddur, they bring it down, I think. Okay, it's the same thing. Yeah. But it's interesting. So why this bracha is in the past? Because according to this pshat, the pasha pshat, it's coming to refer to not just this, but everything that happened till now in the seder of my day, is that you gave me in the seder of my day, right? You gave me everything till now that now I have my shoes on. Oh, but the idea of the shoes is now a person's ready to go. You're ready to go. So it's not just referring to the fact that you have shoes, but referring to that you have everything you need to be able to do something today. I'm ready to, without shoes, where are you going? You can't drive a car, you can't walk, you can't do anything, you're homebound, basically. You know? So the significance of the shoe means it's like the feet, it's the ability to go do something today. So that's the significance of it, which is why, even though the Arizal says that on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, you don't say the Bracha Shasta the Kotzarki, because you don't have shoes. That's what the Arizal says. Arizal says that on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av you don't say Shas LeKotzarki. And now the Parshat Pshat is because you don't have shoes. But our meaning is we do say it. And even the Arizal didn't mean because you don't have shoes. He meant that Pisoi
decided.
What?
The crime is based
on
that's the Arizal saying. It's not.
Okay, so I don't know. Arizal, no. It could be. I don't know. That's the Parshat Pshat. He says there, I'll be so it also, there's other reasons. So now I don't know what they are. So really, the point of all these things is you're supposed to be makir, the significance of it. So, but really, even without shoes, the idea is that a person is equipped with everything they need to be able to accomplish something today. Hashem gives you everything you need to be able to go do business, do whatever you need to do. You have your shoes on, you're ready to go, you're ready to go out there and conquer the world. That itself is a maritika bracha, that a person is equipped with the capabilities to go and do something. You know? So that part of what we're supposed to have in mind is not just the simple osali kotsarki, but bechlal, that I have all my tzrochim, that I have a certain skill, I have a certain talent, I have a certain ability to be able to do something today, to do something someone else can't do. And Hashem gave me that koyach. According to the Epshat, I guess right. So you wake up that now. There's another pshat based on this week's parasha, on last week's parasha, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, what? Yeah. Shal na lecha ma'arag lecha. And when he comes to the snare, he's supposed to take off his shoes. Why do you take off your shoes? Why do you take off your shoes when you come to a makom kadosh? Right, in the base of Mikdash, Kamas Kodesh, that so Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take off his shoes because he's stepping on the Admas Kodesh, and we learn from there that halacha. So what does that mean? So the Nefesh HaChaim says that it doesn't just mean that the physical manifestation is take off your shoes, but the point is there's a physical, the spiritual now of your neshama is your guf. Just as your whole body is in the shoe, it's like when the shoe's holding it up. So your whole neshama is in the guf, and the guf's holding it up. But the ikkar is not the shoe. The shoe can't move without the body. So the body can't move without the neshama. So he says, that's why it says shal na'alecha with two yuds, with a yud in there. Shal na'alecha with a yud, not just nun ayin lamed yud chav. What's the yud? Tell me to Miramis. Tell Moshe Rabbeinu, take off both of your na'als. Take off your physical guf, your shoes, but take off your guf also. Take off that you should come in the totally spiritual metzias. Now Moshe Rabbeinu reached that madrega that he was able to do that. Not everyone's able to reach that madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach that madrega that he was able. That's why he wasn't married. He was able to reach a total, he didn't have to eat for 40 days. He was able to reach a totally new metzias. Shal na'alecha. Okay, so the na'al represents the whole goof of the person. Okay, so when you take,
I would answer an interesting question.
Which is,
why in the world would the Torah have to tell us, Me'al Raglecha? Well, it would have to say shal ne'alecha. Where is he going to take him off? In his hands? Of course, from his feet. So that would answer the question. It's not really his shoes.
Saying the shal ne'alecha, don't just take off your gov mal ragacha, because you have to take off the physical ones also. But so when a person, the symbolism of taking off your shoes, when you come to an makom kadosh, means you're supposed to take away the koichi v'atzim yadi. The whole shoe, the whole gov, it represents everything physical, and it represents the koich of the person. So you're coming off and you're coming and saying basically, I'm taking off my now. I'm about to myself. I can't. Once a person's walking around barefoot, they can't do anything. I'm stuck. Yeah? So come, shal ne'alecha. First of all, come and take off. First of all, on the simple level, take off the shoe. Take off what that represents, the ability of the person to go accomplish. And second of all, take off your goof. Take off as much of the physicality in the bria and come of yourself, and come as much of a spiritual mitzias as you can.
Yeah, I think maybe part of the idea is that the fact that shoes represent a certain level, shmira to a certain level. Your shoes is shomer you as you're going. Now you have no shmir. Now you totally depend on the bar without the shoes.
Okay, so similar idea. Right. Okay. I don't know exactly, but Rabbi Singer told me that when he was going in the airport with Rabbi Aaron Schechter, going through security, and they said, take off shoes. And he's I'm not taking off my shoes. I don't know if it has to do with this. You take off your shoes certain times. You don't take off your shoes. You don't mevatel yourself to these chaver. You mevatel yourself to the bunch of
over 76 years old.
Nowadays. It changed. That wasn't always that way. What? So I'm not taking off my shoes. So Rabbi, I shouldn't put a wife in nothing of shoes.
He smiled.
He looks like a terrorist.
So they
maybe they have long beard.
So you know, I don't know if it has to do with this, but it could be a shaykhus to this Indian, because the pshat is a certain bittul. There's a certain a person mevatel the koyches. Anyway, he's coming, I think, this week. I think so. Well, okay. So shalsli kotzarki. The next bracha is gavaldik.
I'll ask him to take off his shoes. I'll ask him.
Ask him. Okay. The next bracha we say alchein malchaylon. Yeah. Hamechin mitzaadei gover. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is making the steps of a person. So kipshutu, that means when a person is able to step, Hashem gives you the ability to take steps, to walk, and you make a bracha on that. And again, Chazal say, the first step you take, then you just make this bracha. We don't do it this way. We line them all up, and therefore we lose part of the maila, the purpose of why the Chazal made these takanas, and we should appreciate every step of the way. But this bracha is about a mechin mitzadigah, because Baruch Hu prepares every step that we take. Because it gives us kach to take steps, but Chafetz Chaim says it really means is hamechin mitzaadigah. Hashem Baruch Hu prepares your steps. That means every step that a person is going to take today, Hashem Baruch Hu is directing us in that direction. Where are you going? The steps that we take are to a certain degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already prepared them for us. That's what hamechin. Everything's like that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making the mitzah degover. He's preparing your steps to where you're going to go. So the Chafetz Chaim takes out of this a marriage of Musar. Which, first of all, meaning to say that this bracha is not just about that I can physically walk, but it's about my whole direction in life. Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has directed me and got me to where I want to be. If I'm in a certain place, in a certain neighborhood, in a certain job, a certain anything, it's because all the steps that were needed. Right, like my sister just told me Friday that they went to with my mother to an appointment, and they were sitting in the appointment for 2.5 hours in the office waiting to get in with my mother, and like they're really getting annoyed about this whole schnickel, waiting there, and then Lamai said they strike up a conversation with the person next to them. This person turns out that he's the head of a department in a certain hospital, whatever, and the head of that department is where my sister's daughter is looking for a job in that field, and the guy said this is like after there for 2.5 hours already. The guy says he got her the interview, and on Monday she got the job. She got the interview. So she said, like, you imagine sitting there like
you think for nothing. telling, but it's, right. it was always some. Yeah,
right. So, so.
Or Kroner is Syria?
You know, I'm not saying it's a gross or spineless. I'm saying is that a kosher bowl? It's mechem mitzad de gar. You know, the guy came to Moshe Shapiro, Zatzal, and he says, and he tells him this whole maysa about it was a very very wild story about how his after the war, and it was like 40 years after the war, and the two sides of the family, the husband wife whatever, or the sides of the family met up in South Africa. They both happened to be slaves, and there was a passport, and I don't know the deal. It was one of these crazy stories you wouldn't be able to come up with in a million years. You know how these people met up after 40 years, no shaykh, anything. She tells him the whole story. Sir, my Shapiro says, "Chair." Did you hear the one I just told you? Did you hear the details of how much went into this story happening? She tells him the whole story again. Chair. She says, "Why aren't you being small?" So he says, in Yiddish, he says, You're coming to prove to me that there's a bonus line. I know it already. So, you know, but Lamaisa, the Chavetz Chaim takes out a musa from this. Is that our person understands that every step that they take is a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's giving us the step, the koyach to do it. So then, a person is they're taking steps to go do an Avera, to go do something they're not supposed to be doing, or steps away from something they're supposed to be doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you that koyach to do that. So on that thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you the koyach to go take the step, and you're going ahead and taking the step away from him. Right? Which the Talmud Tzvara says this is one of the Yigimel Midas of the Ribono Shel Olam. I think it's the one... Melech Olov, he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Olov. Melech Olov means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is every koyach that a person needs to do an avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him that koyach also. A person won't be able to do an avera, just like we're Pekach Ivrim to go learn Torah, a person you're Pekach Ivrim to go look at things you're not supposed to look at either. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Guf giving you the koyach to do the averas. So the Chafetz Chaim says from all these things, the more a person realizes this akars atoyf the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for these things, not only a person will get that akars, but he also will understand how could he use those koyches to go do something connected to Ratzon Hashem. So that's another most of the Chafetz Chaim takes out that a person can gain by concentrating on the brachas over here. Okay, let's continue just quickly over the next couple of them. So the next two, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu is Oizer Yisrael Begvura, which literally means like the belt. Baruch Hu
girds.
Yeah, is that a real? Is that like? Yeah, girds and whatever that means exactly. But of course, Baruch Hu is referring to the now. The problem is it's a very weird bracha. You make a bracha about a belt.
I mean, what a belt means.
What does a belt mean exactly?
Because Baruch Hu that sword.
What?
They wore their sword in the belt. It's the
so that's why it says gevura.
Right.
Okay. So the ma'aser. So that could be the simple pshat, but we'll see. And then it says Oiter Yisrael b'Sefara, referring to the head covering. Now these two brachas are the only two brachas that refer to Yisrael. Why doesn't it say Pekach Eina Yisrael? Right? Or because that's the point. Because the belt issue is not the issue of the sword only. Because if it would just be the sword, then it's only Yisrael. The issue is that it's the point where a person can separate themselves, the elevated part of the guf from the lower part of the guf. So Oizer Yisrael, the Gvura, is that Chosro gives us the ability, is a Yisrael, the ability to raise themselves over the physical taivis. And separate. This is a special bracha for Yisrael. That Yisrael have a special koyach that Rebbeinu Shlomo gives us, right? That we're supposed to remember how to separate and to elevate ourselves. What?
To be
semech b'chalka. Hakavishas Yitzray. You're talking about Ezra Asher.
Yeah.
So Hakavishas Yitzray. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying Elchami. That gvur. Yeah, yeah. That's
it. It's the same, similar reason to why when we make the Asher Yotzer, it's Rofe called Boso Mafrasos. But when we say Rifa'enu, it's Rofe Cholen Aswad.
Yeah, they asked that Shatner. Why, by Rofe, why, well, the stipler has a shtick on this. Why is Rofe Cholen Amo Yisrael? He's Rofe everybody. So you're saying Pshat on that?
The Pshat I heard is because by, in Rifa'enu, we say, we give credit to Hashem. Rifa'enu Hashem and Rofe Hashem. Because we're acknowledging
we'll praise
the
you
fact
for
that right. That our refuah comes from a Kodesh Baruch.
Right. So we're gonna acknowledge that exactly. So it's Rofe Cholei Amo Yisrael, right? Very nice. And the same thing, Oiter Yisrael b'Sefara is the head covering. It's not just Stam. You know, that was the style to wear the head covering. The word is also is that we're supposed to remember, have the Yir Shamayim, that there's something always on top of us. You know, so wear a head covering to remind ourselves and to always be reminding ourselves of the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam is always on top of us. So let's just finish with the next bracha, and then I guess we'll Ma'ariv Shena we'll do next time. Is Elokeinu is Anoisein La Yo'ef Koyach. So, and when you wake up, you say, "Nesan la yoyif koyach." Now, normally, Pasha Pshat is, I think, most people think it means, is that I'm tired when I wake up in the morning, I'm exhausted, and lemaisa, I'm gonna with a cup of coffee, and you know, I'll wake up, and Hashem gives me, even though I'm tired, it gives me koyach. So, my first thing doesn't refer to that at all. No shaykhis.
So, it's the first.
I'm not going to answer that question. My pshat's not going to make that better. but they say it's referring to the yoif of the night before. That's what it means. It is a bezunda, a murdik, a bracha. Is that among you? Very often you find yourself you're in a bad mood, right? Physically, first of all, a person's tired out. I get a good night's sleep. A person could go 3 nights without sleep, and all of a sudden you get one good night's sleep, you're back in business. You don't have to, you don't catch up. You get a good night's sleep, you're good. A person can get rejuvenated with a good night's sleep. So that's in the physical world. The yoy. Besides that, is that in ruchnistics, emotionally, it's the same way. A person can be in a bad mood. A person could be in a fight with someone. And I'll sleep on it. I'm going to sleep on it. Sleep because there's a certain koyach that a person has in the night. Sleep, you rejuvenates your neshama. It's not just I'm sleeping on it. It's that there's taka koyach the Kodesh Baruch Hu has that he rejuvenates the neshama. Every morning there's a new koyachas in the neshama. It's rejuvenated. It's coming with different koyachas than the day before. A person can get something on their desk at work 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're about to have a koyachas to start. You know, I already went through too many things. I can't. Okay, so you should be more fried by the next morning. I mean, after you left work, you did a thousand other things. But no, a person can every morning is a new start, a new ability to look at things again in a different light. It's an amazing koyach that a person has. A mole, like in work, a person can get caught up in a project for months.
What? If a computer, you have a lot of stuff open and it starts to slow down. When you close everything, you start it the next morning, everything's in the right place. And you start off and it's faster and everything's recalibrated.
Exactly. So a person has to be that way. So really, is it we don't just go to sleep because we can't continue. We go to sleep, a person's a yoif, and a person gives the yoif koyach the next day to start over again. So it's not talking about the yoif of the morning. By the time you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to be refreshed already. You're not supposed to be still yaif. You're supposed to have been yaif in the at night, and you wake up in the morning, you have new kaiches. So that bracha is that Kodesh Baruch gives us a new ability to start over again. Every day is a new opportunity, and that connects back with the beginning, what we started off with, is that every day is a new opportunity and a new mission that we have. That's what all this is for. So the combination of all these brachas, what we spoke last week, the first three, plus all these brachas, is that first of all, persons realize they have a mission to accomplish. And Akash Baruch gives us all the tools and everything we need to accomplish the mission. So Lamaisa, these brachas, I think of a person just the taich, and then some of these ideas, the deheres of these brachas, you know, remembering that Pokeach Ivrim, it's that it starts the other way. Remember what we're lacking until Akash Baruch will give it to us, right? And that it's the das, it's all the ability to accomplish, it's the ability to touch the physical brachas that we're talking about, but it's everything behind them, and that will in Mirat Hashem motivate us and inspire us in our. And I have a decision. Okay. Shkoyach.